Also it's up some nasiha.
Well, honestly, I know it's not within my capability. It's not in my capacity. I can't really do justice. And I was really wanting to be doing something quietly somewhere where you don't have too much of popularity and all that. But if Allah Ta'ala makes it known and wants to take some khidmat, then he creates the asbab also. And truly, it is sometimes very, very taxing, but with all the emails and the letters coming from different parts of the world now in so much in volume, then we have the masjid and the madrasas and all the social and welfare cases and so many other problems, domestic disputes and inheritance problems and drug problems and all these type of things. I can't really say that I'm doing anything because it's, I know it's not in my capacity, it's not within my power and capability, and especially being a heart patient and after the bypass and the heart attacks and everything else. So it is only Allah Ta'ala's fazal, His ihsan, His karam. I can't make enough shukr if I have to rub my forehead on the ground till Qiyamah day and make shukr of Allah. I can't do justice to it.
Mulana, at your age, there's younger people that's suffering heart attacks these days, and you're such an inspiration to everybody else. Your family at this point in time, Mulana, your beloved wife and your children, are they in South Africa, all of them?
Alhamdulillah, I have three children. I have two daughters and one son. My son, I did send him for Alim course also, but he completed his years. He did 1-2 years, and after that, he went away to Pakistan and came back and got married, so he did not proceed further. But he is a hafiz of the Quran Sharif, and is in. And my two daughters are also married. One is to Maulana Naeem Mutala, he's a very good alim, and he's running Darul Uloom Hamidiyya. Mm-hmm. And the other is in Port Elizabeth. That he also, my daughter there has 5 children. One is a set of twins. But Alhamdulillah, all are well settled, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give them istiqamah on deen and give them progress in both worlds. In fact, one of the interesting things, Zaid, was the heart attack, the first one.
Yeah.
It was the 10th night on the eve of the 10th of Muharram,
yeah.
And I was giving a talk on the virtues of the day of Ashura. Yeah. And just along the line somewhere, just after about 10, 15 minutes or 20 minutes, and I got very, very sharp pain. And it was as if those were the last moments of my life. But now I was giving a bayan, the masjid was chock-a-block, and I thought I'm really, really going. So what is the purpose now of ending the bayan? So I said, let me just carry on until I pass away. I just continued, but the pain was getting very sharp and severe, and then I decided, no, I started make dua and call it off now. I don't know when the mouth will come.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the dua, and the next thing I was flat on the ground there in the masjid. A very good friend, doctor of mine, coincidentally, but nothing is coincident, it's Allah Ta'ala's working in hell, that he was right there in the front,
mm-hmm.
And he immediately checked and he said, no, this is a heart attack. So from that masjid straight to the hospital, and then they put some stents and all that, and then I seem to have survived again. But otherwise, I was hoping that that was the final threat that I took. Another very interesting thing is, 1 year when we were in with the wife, I was going to England from Bombay.
Mm-hmm.
We were in India, and then we were in first, of course, we're in Umrah, in Hajj, and from there to Pakistan, Bombay, and from then I was going to London. I had some program that side. So there was a flight that we were booked on. It was at about 11 o'clock or something at night, and it was Air India flight number, whatever it was. So we had booked on that and confirmed seats, everything. When in Bombay, then whilst walking, suddenly I saw Lufthansa board there. So I just walked in there and I said, do you have a flight to London? They said, yes, we have. What time is your flight? They said, 12 o'clock. I said, can I take your flight? I've got this ticket, but can I take your flight? He said, no, you'll have to go back to Air India. Then they endorse it and all that. So the wife was a little upset that, why must you change? You got something confirmed, why must you change? I said, no, I just don't feel like taking this flight. But the reason, I said, I can't give you any reason. Something is telling me I mustn't take this flight. So we went, we endorsed the ticket, came back to them, and that flight that we took, we arrived in London. And in the morning, as we're just having breakfast, on the radio we hear, Air India flight number, this, that, crashed, all passengers passed away. So I don't know how many times I missed my mouth and death. Allah only knows now when it's going to come. Make dua wherever it comes, comes in a state that my Allah is pleased with me.
Well, Anna, just a few more questions. We're running out of time now. I've been interested in a long one to ask Hazrat Sahab about any interesting dreams that Maulana had had that you want to share with us.
I don't know whether I should say it over here now, but making shukar of Allah, I will relate it, that Alhamdulillah. But dreams, we must remember, does not make anyone pious, does not make anyone waliullah. We must not think that because of the dream now suddenly I'm on the arsh of Allah Ta'ala or anything. It must humble us, and if there is some glad tiding in there, make shukr over it. And if there is a warning, then we must put ourselves right. So I just take this as a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. But alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, at least 5 times I have seen Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in my dream. And once it was, and this is the one how I am relating this, because there's a lesson in there for all of us, that I'm dreaming that I'm there at the Rauza Mubarak, and there's a gatekeeper there. How they see those people standing there, those gatekeepers, and those darban, as we say, and the security, so like that. So he's asking me that, what do you want? What have you come for? So I'm telling him that I came to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he opens that green gate, and I go in. Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting on the bed, very, very handsome, very beautiful face, with his locks, as we read in the Hadith Sharif, and full of smile. And he shook my hand. There was such a warmth in it. He smiled, and his words were that, I'm happy with your speeches. He said, I'm happy with your bayans, with your speeches. And thereafter, it was as if now I'm sitting with him, although the sleep was not that long, but in the dream, as if I was sitting with him for a long time. And we were discussing different issues. And he was so happy. And then suddenly our conversation turned to Palestine, Iraq, and all these type of places where there was a lot of problem. And they didn't know whatever is happening in these places. And this dream was at that time when that Kuwait-Iraq thing was taking place. So it had disturbed, of course, me tremendously, the thousands of Muslims that across the lies and the bombardment by the Americans and everything else. But in any case, so that discussion now, which was so beautiful, and where there was so much of smile on the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when we started talking about this, then his words were that the ikhtilaf of my ummah has increased tremendously. That means the disputes, the arguments, the fights, the quarrels, and all these type of things in my ummah has increased tremendously. That means the whole Muslim countries are all at loggerheads. The whole ummah seems to be just splitting down. So that smile and that happiness that was on the Mubarak face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, believe me, Zaid, that I think of it even now, it makes me cry. That he went so sad, that I just thought that what are we really doing to the sensitive heart of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But in any case, that was one. Then I dreamt that in our Masjid al-Nur, on the right-hand side of the masjid, is a bed. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting on the, and the masjid is chock-a-block. And I'm announcing to the congregation that how fortunate we are that today we have Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam in our masjid. And Then I remember these words so clearly that I'm telling the congregation that look at the Mubarak face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how young and fresh he is still looking. These two words I can clearly remember, how young and fresh. He was looking so beautiful, so handsome. Then we proceed after that to make mulaqat. When I come up to him at that, on his side there. So he shakes my hand with a great smile, and the late Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahab Rahmatullah Ali was on the side as if he was introducing. And he introduces this nakara, this banda of Allah Ta'ala, this sinful slave of Allah Ta'ala. And he is Maulana Yunus Patel, and he is this, he is that. And Nabi Apostle smiles and shook him a hand such a way that I could feel as if the coolness of that was in my chest. And when my eyes opened, I could still feel that. But of course, as I said, there are many other dreams like this, but all this is just the hadith of Ni'mat. And many, many other people recently have been seeing me with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They have been seeing so many different kinds of dreams. But all this I take to be an encouragement. It gives me a lot of consolation. It gives me some kind of himmat and courage when I feel down. When after you try to make some effort and you don't see some kind of change, then you sometimes feel down. But then you get a lot of hope again that, no, you just have to carry on doing the work that you are supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And the results are to be left in the hands of Allah. He will give a diet. Our duty is to make the effort.
Hazrat Sahab, some nasiha for us here at Channel Islam. Ibrahim, I just spoke to Ibrahim by a few minutes before yourself. He is in Masjid al-Aqsa at this point in time. He asked to convey salams to you.